This is CRNH on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. This hour of the program is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health as well as the Prescription Center. So we're going to be joining the program right now from Washington, D.C. by U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan. Senator Hassan, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Chris?
I am also well. Appreciate you joining us for the show. Want to start off with this. Obviously, the groundbreaking deal has been voted upon by the House, and $900 billion in spending, most of it focused on COVID-19. And this is a deal, obviously, that has taken a while to come to fruition. What are your overall thoughts as we're hearing multiple things about what's in the bill, what's not in the bill, and your general thoughts about this package?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that we got this done. The Senate voted on it last night. It now goes to the president's desk. And the package really is two major pieces of work that have come together. The first is the overall government spending plan for the rest of this fiscal year that lasts through September 30th. And then the second is this COVID relief package that I helped negotiate with a bipartisan group of senators. We really tried to kickstart this about a little over a month ago because we were very concerned that we were coming up on the holiday and on the expiration of unemployment benefits for so many of our constituents who've been just devastated by this pandemic, out of work through no fault of their own. We've been hearing from small businesses about the need to continue that Paycheck Protection Program or provide some other relief. We've been hearing from our schools and our healthcare providers as well, and our public health officials, as we roll out this vaccine, the need to make sure that they've got the resources they need to get vaccines out as effectively and quickly as we can. So what we did was really work in this bipartisan way to come up with a framework for emergency relief that can get to people now. And the final relief package has direct support for individuals and families, these $600 payments per adult and per child, going to families generally that earn $150,000 or less. We did extend the Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses and included in this bill, too, special assistance for live theater venues, for instance, the entities that have just been hurt so much by this pandemic. Significant help for our schools and our colleges, as well as public health funding. So those are some of the pieces here. In addition, we were able to get in this final package something I've been working on with my Republican colleague Bill Cassidy for some time now, which is to end surprise medical bills, something you and I have talked about in the past. So all in all, this has a lot of important relief that is needed right now when it comes to the pandemic, as well as some other really important provisions as we look to government funding for the next year.
Obviously, this is not an optimal situation, and in many different ways. And 2020 has not been an optimal year. But one of the things that stands out is this is not the way that government should work. I mean, this seems like basically a holdup at the end of the year, just prior to Christmas, where individuals are going to have to vote for a bill, and there's going to be things in it they may not like and that are going to get stuffed in as a result of compromise, which, of course, is, you know, important. But, you know, this, to me, is government operating in the worst possible fashion, where there's continuing resolutions to fund the government, and you kind of have to get things done before the holidays. It's the end of President Trump's term, and you know, I understand that a lot of this stuff is really, really important, but I'm curious as to your thoughts about how we go about reforming the way that Congress operates so that there is enough. You have a 5,000-page bill that you're having to vote upon that has just kind of come together here when there's been months and months and months to do due diligence and to put forward a bill that everybody can feel, you know, comfortable with in terms of knowledge and understanding. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, look, this was not and is not the optimal way to do business, and it's something that our bipartisan group really was trying to point out to our leadership. I mean, at Thanksgiving, we still didn't have the framework for what a realistic bipartisan COVID relief package would look like, even though our constituents were crying out for this kind of support and help. we had come together in the CARES Act, and that was a very good bill for the first portion of this pandemic. But we knew by May or June that we needed additional support and additional relief as it appeared the pandemic was going to last significantly longer than people had originally hoped. So a couple of things. First of all, on the overall government spending bill, that package did follow what is considered a more normal legislative package. A lot of the pieces of it are pieces of legislation that different senators worked on through the committee process that have been very thoroughly vetted and then are included in an overall spending and funding bill. And so there are pieces of that package that did follow much more of the normal process. But then when you got to the relief bill, we were very frustrated that we hadn't had, for instance, committee hearings really focusing on the impact of the pandemic
right.
on individuals and families, which would have driven legislation. Some of this is because we have two political parties that are very divided on what kind of and how much relief to provide. But that's why this bipartisan group of us came together and just said, look, we know that there are different views about how much the government should invest in pandemic relief versus economic stimulus, and there are different views about that. But we can agree that there is some relief that our businesses and our families need right now. So in addition to the $600 checks, for instance, there is nutrition assistance, rental assistance, the continuation of the eviction moratorium. There are provisions in here that I had worked on with Senator Collins, that bills that, again, have been vetted and passed that require that these direct payments get paid automatically to Social Security beneficiaries, supplemental security income beneficiaries, and VA beneficiaries. So there are pieces of this that follow the more regular legislative process, but part of this is that we have to get used to talking to each other again, airing our disagreements, and that's what this bipartisan group did over, you know, a small group of them started because they were here over Thanksgiving and met in a big space, very socially distanced, to really talk this out, and then others of us joined, and we ended up Zooming a lot and having lots of phone calls. And I can tell you, sometimes these conversations get pretty heated, but that's what you need to then break through and figure out what you have in common and how you can get something done.
No, as you know, I'm very pleased, and I think it's a great sign for the country, the bipartisan work group that came together. I think, you know, the overall process and delay on the part of the COVID relief bill is what's frustrating, and that it's being tacked to the overall spending bill as well. It just makes and creates a difficult environment for everybody to have to work against these deadlines. And then, you know, afterwards, you're hearing about in a campaign or after you've already voted for, oh yeah, there's this aspect or has this consequence that you didn't quite know is going to be a consequence because of the fact that there's something that's so important that had to be voted upon. And you have this deadline placed upon you to do it. Final thing is on whether or not you feel that President Trump will sign this legislation. It seems that Mitch McConnell is hedging his bets on that, as he has scheduled a veto override, I believe, for the 28th or 29th, in case the president does veto this.
Well, so the veto override is more likely scheduled because of the president's threats to veto the National Defense Authorization Act. And that is something that we passed within the last couple of weeks. Again, a bill that followed its very normal legislative process. It is a year-long process that we go through, led by our armed services folks. And again, this process is usually a bipartisan one. And sadly, even though the National Defense Authorization Act has a pay raise for our troops and critical cybersecurity measures that would help us address the awful kind of hack that we are dealing with right now, the president has said he will veto it because we didn't include in it a completely unrelated measure that would be the result of, you know, considerable legislative work and thought to do. So we are hoping that the president will change his mind on vetoing the National Defense Authorization Act, but we know that we may need to come back just a couple of days after the holiday to override that veto in case he makes good on this threat. In the meantime, his Secretary of the Treasury was very involved in mm-hmm. the final negotiations on the COVID relief and on the overall spending package. And, you know, it is frustrating that things tend to happen at deadlines. I will tell you, though, that this is often the way human beings work. But we should get back to a more regular process where the committee process within our Senate really drives the results and gets people to agreement. And then we're going to have to monitor, you know, part of this overall COVID relief package includes funding to monitor how, for instance, the Paycheck Protection Program is actually being used so that we can continue to make changes if we need to. That's part of the legislative process, too.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Secretary Mnuchin has been very involved and said that that $600 per person for eligible Americans could come as early as next week. But so you're certain that the president will support this?
I have to say I can't be certain about what the president will do, but I don't have reason to believe he hasn't threatened to veto it, and his administration has been very involved in helping us get to a final product, because we wanted to do everything we could to ensure that the president would, in fact, let it become law.
As always, appreciate you joining us for the program.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful holiday and be safe.
You as well. U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan joining us here on CRNH on KXL this hour, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health as well as the Prescription Center.